Coming to you from the ancestral territory of the Anishinaabe and the area occupied by the Mississaugas of the Credit First Nation, this is Earth Matters. I'm your host, Lawson Hunter. Earth Matters examines the impacts we have on the environment and the natural world around us. Seeking solutions, reporting on news and events, presenting positive alternatives, and highlighting the steps others are taking, we hope to inspire you to join the many others who are working to preserve and protect a healthy planet. There's no doubt that we in North America live in a car culture society, and try as we might to emulate the European attitude towards cycling, the excuses for not taking a bike to work, or to the park, or to some other defined destination are numerous. The snow, the rain, the heat, the lack of dedicated bike lanes, the ignorant drivers that don't even see cyclists and resent them when they do because, you know, roads were meant for cars after all. And despite organizations like the League of American Bicyclists, who claim that over the past decade there's been a 47% increase in cycling and an 80% increase in bike-friendly communities, whatever that is, those numbers largely reflect what some people refer to as recreational cycling. Does that include mountain bikes? Bikes used in Ironman contests? And what about electric bikes? However, there is one excuse that's slowly being beaten back. The cry that my bike is old, or broken, or needs a tune-up because it hasn't been ridden in years, is about to fade away, thanks to a growing number of community bike repair shops. In fact, there are so many bike shops around, they have their own annual convention. This year, there's one in Toronto, Canada. It's called Bike Bike, where participants will hold workshops on inclusiveness, youth engagement, and the role, and some might say the power, of bikes in the community. Community bike shops are run on a mandate to eliminate barriers to cycling by teaching people how to repair and maintain bikes, and offering the tools and space to do so, and providing safe, affordable bikes to those who might otherwise be priced out of the market. Getting more working bikes on the road is just part of the community bike shop mandate. Education is also important, whether running hands-on programs in neighborhood schools or just through day-to-day shop activity, those that run the bike shop believe that self-reliance builds strong communities. With more to explain what goes on behind the scenes, I spoke with Mike Rooks, manager of Rolling Horse Community Cycle, just one of hundreds of community bike shops in North America.
So Rolling Horse is approaching 10 years old. It started with a couple of people who love bicycles and cycling, repairing bikes in their garage. And after a few years of that, one of the members of the Forest View Church in North Burlington recognized the demand for this and decided to sort of formalize it into a registered not-for-profit corporation and try and expand the service. So we've been through a few iterations of first garage and then shared space with the Compassion Society. And now we have a large workshop space that we share with another charity run by the Forest View Church called Next Door Social Space. So Rolling Horse now has a workshop where we can have about five volunteers working at once. And we have also a large bike storage shed where we store both our freshly donated bikes and our refurbished bikes that are ready for sale. And so what we primarily do is we take bike donations and we either part them out or we refurbish them for resale into the community. And so we typically we will say take an old mountain bike, fix it up with approximately $25 to $30 worth of used parts, and we'll resell it for anywhere from $60 to $200 depending on the condition and the quality of the bike. We also offer bike repairs at a reasonable price. So we're, again, offering this as a service to the community, where we primarily use used parts for our repairs, and we use volunteer labor. So we can offer this service very inexpensively and keep people who are relying on their bicycle as their main mode of transportation on their bikes for relatively inexpensive cost. We also offer repair training. So we run mechanic training courses throughout the summer season. We run them for individuals or for families. Often we'll have a parent and one or two children come in, and they, both the kids and the parents learn how to fix their bikes. And that way the parents are aware of what tools are needed and can make sure that the tools are around the house, and can also help the kids if they get stuck on a repair. So that's worked out really well for us. In addition, we offer free community repair clinics. And when we do those, we piggyback on a community event. It might be a barbecue or that sort of thing, an outdoor event. And we'll go and set up a portable bike repair shop and fix kids' bikes for free. So we just over the course of a two-hour barbecue, we might fix about 30 bicycles. It's flat repairs and brake replacement and simple things like that, but they're the things that that prevent kids in the lower-income communities from being able to use their bikes. So we offer that as a free service to the community, and it keeps everybody's wheels rolling.
So give me an idea over the course of the years that you've been here, how many bikes have you had pass through this door? Give me a ballpark figure.
That's a good question. So last year we refurbished and resold over 400 bicycles. Mm. We've been growing every year. So I'd say probably it's right around 1,000 or a little more in total that we've actually refurbished and resold. We've probably repaired another 1,000 to 1,500 bikes. So that would be the ballpark.
So a large portion of what you have are people bringing in their own bikes, getting them fixed up and back on the road. For those people that don't believe there are many people that ride bicycles, you would beg to differ.
Yeah, it's actually surprised me. The number of bikes that we've sold and the number of repairs that we do on a regular basis, how few bikes I see on the road in Burlington. There are more in the summer and on the nicer days. Burlington has a pretty good set of bike lanes and bike paths. It's quite a good network that's been in development for probably 30 years now. And yet, often in the middle of the day, when you go and ride around the city, you hardly see any bicycles. So it does surprise me. I think that most people still think of bicycles as a form of recreation to be used on Saturday morning. They don't think of them so much as their transportation for going to the store or going to work. And that's something that I'm hoping we can help to change a little bit. Bicycles are an awesome way to get to work. They keep you fit. Reduce smog and carbon emissions, and they're much easier to park typically too. So there's a lot of good reasons to ride a bike for practical purposes. And so I'm hoping that if we get a few more people on bikes because they're affordable, maybe we're helping to achieve that.
Tell me a bit more about that idea of getting a bike donated. Someone's old or they no longer want to ride a bicycle, but they don't want to throw it in the garbage anymore. But they do drop it off. You refurbish it and then sell it at a very reasonable price, making it affordable and providing transportation. So tell me a little bit about how that works and the mechanics and some of the success stories, perhaps.
Sure. Okay, well, it seems like we have maybe three or four categories of donations. First are the kids' bikes that seem to cycle through here every 2 years. Kids grow out of their bikes. The bike comes back for the third or fourth time. And so it's just a process of, you know, cleaning it up a bit and getting it back out to another child who will enjoy it for a couple more years. I guess the next category is the fairly frequent cyclist who wants to upgrade or has just upgraded, and they don't know what to do with their old bike, so they bring it here. And often those bikes, they're often well used. They're also often hardly used at all. It really varies, but so we get a huge range of quality and condition of bikes, and we refurbish them all to the point that they perform essentially as new, but we can sell them at very different prices. So we can sell to different price points in the community. And then, of course, the third category is the bike that's been hanging in the garage for 25 years, the old 10-speed that just hasn't seen any use for a long time. And a senior will call and ask if we have any interest at all. And of course we do. The teenagers now have a lot of interest in retro anything, and so we will gladly accept their 1960s cruiser or their 1970s 10-speed road racer, whatever it is. So they'll bring it in and we refurbish it and we can find a buyer for it.
Tell us about the volunteers. Are they all ex-bike mechanics, or what kind of people come in and help volunteer and fix bikes?
We have pretty much the gamut. We have a roster of about 25 volunteers now. We have teenage kids who want to learn about mechanics. They want to get their volunteer hours. And it's just a fun place to work. They work beside a qualified mechanic, and they learn a lot about not just bike mechanics, but tools in general, how to use tools, how to fix things, how to keep things maintained and running. So there's the student aspect. We have quite a large number of 20-something volunteers. These are young people that are generally bike enthusiasts who are taken courses in bike mechanics and are quite well qualified. Some of them work in other bike shops and then come to volunteer at Rolling Horse because it provides them with a different challenge. In most bike shops that sell new bikes, you don't get the chance to restore an old bike or refurbish bikes. And so this gives them a different challenge. They also like teaching the young people, so that's a plus for them. And then we have several people like myself who are at the other end of their career and often retired or semi-retired and are looking for a way to give back to the community and something interesting, an interesting way to do that. And so working on bikes is a way to learn. We have such a variety of bikes coming through Rolling Horse that there's always something new to learn about bicycles, whether it's new hydraulic brakes or old gearing systems from the 1950s. It's a huge range of mechanical challenges. So those are kind of the three categories. And, of course, we have volunteers of all different ages, but those are the three main ones.
And there's also a social aspect to this because you encourage people to not just drop off the bike but come in and help repair the bike. So tell me a little bit about why you chose that path rather than just the traditional model of drop the bike off, come back 2 days, pay us to fix your bike, and away you go. So why do you have that social component into it?
I think that if you get people involved in the repair of their bike, they become more enthusiastic cyclists and they become more knowledgeable cyclists. Being around cyclists allows you to learn about more than just the mechanics. There's etiquette. There's a right way to ride on the road that doesn't annoy car drivers. And since we all need to coexist on the road, that's very important. I think also it's just good to develop in cyclists the ability to diagnose problems with their bike when they hear a noise. If they've been in to repair their bike, chances are they'll know the steps to follow to figure out what's causing that noise, and then they'll be more likely to be able to fix it themselves. It also encourages them to learn things like having a little tool bag on their bike will allow them to fix 80% of whatever might go wrong when they're on the road. Flats, minor adjustments. It's easy to carry the tools to do that. And so they become more knowledgeable cyclists.
So let's turn a little bit to you, Mike. Tell us where you came from. You said you're close to the other end of your career. What made you, A, get involved in bikes, and, B, embrace this repairing and recycling kind of atmosphere? Where did you get your start in that?
Well, I think for me, it started with a love of cycling. I don't know, I guess my dad always encouraged my brother and I to cycle anywhere that we needed to go. Our family only had one car, which generally wasn't available. So growing up in North Toronto, we went everywhere by bike. I've toured across the country. I've toured through New Zealand and many places in the States. I continue to do that, and I just love it as a kind of a lifestyle thing, as a mode of travel. It's slow enough that you see everything, but fast enough that you can actually go places. So that was a big motivator for me. As far as working in the bike shop goes, I came into Rolling Horse about a year ago to donate a bike, and the staff and the volunteers were so friendly, they instantly convinced me to try my hand at volunteer bike mechanics. So I did that for a few months, and then I participated in a community clinic, repair clinic in Oakville, and I was just blown away by the effect it had on the kids. You know, seeing them come up and hear their stories about not being able to ride their bike for months, and then watching them ride away with their friends 15 minutes later when their flat was fixed was just so gratifying. So when the opportunity came up to manage Rolling Horse last fall, the then manager was heading back to school. I jumped on it, and now I'm heading into my first full summer season at Rolling Horse. So
now, between when you were a 17 touring enthusiast and the most recent incarnation, what did you do?
My profession is engineering. I've held jobs in the auto industry and various jobs in software and the tech industry. Most recently, I was commuting to a big tech company in Waterloo, and you know, it's about a 65 kilometer each way drive, and I started to think about my commute. I had been thinking more and more about climate change and the effect of all of us commuting and driving on the environment, and it just started to bother me that I was commuting. I wasn't in a position to be able to move. And so ultimately, when I left that job, I made a decision to reduce my carbon footprint and work only locally. So I've been doing that for several years, and Rolling Horse is just an extension of that. I live about a 10-minute bike ride from Rolling Horse, and I cycle here every day, and that's my commute now. I started to think about all of the travel that we all do these days, and you know, the environmental cost of it. You know, because we have the money and because we have the technology, it enables us to burn carbon at a rate that is just completely non-sustainable. So we need to start thinking about how do we reduce that? You know, changes in our lifestyle that don't take away from our lifestyle, but allow us to live within a reasonable amount of energy consumption. And I think cycling, getting people on bikes is a big part of that.
Are you aware of any other repair shops like this?
Oh yeah, there's several in Toronto. Hamilton has a very well established one called New Hope Cycle, and an ex volunteer here at Rolling Horse is just starting one up in Oakville. So they're gaining ground, and I think that this will become eventually sort of half of the bike industry. There'll be the shops that sell the new bikes, and there'll be the shops that fix them up and resell them. And so I think that almost every major city either has one or will have one in the near future.
Okay. Mike Rook from Rolling Horse Community Cycle, thank you very much for joining us on Earth Matters.
You're most welcome, Lawson. Thank you.
I'm speaking with Alex Aylin, Executive Director of Charlie's Free Wheels in Toronto, Canada, and you're one of the coordinators for Bike Bike Northeast 2019. So tell us about Bike Bike and the bike repair, bike community.
Sure. So Bike Bike is an international conference that takes place once a year, and last year it took place in Los Angeles. The year before it was in Winnipeg. Usually it takes place across North America. And so the conference is focused on providing people with access to Skillshare workshops and educational workshops put on by community bike spaces across North America mostly, but then internationally as well. And through the workshops, we learn about community bike projects operating all over the place. And it's a very supportive community, very accessible conference, and is always offered on a pay-what-you-can basis as well. Mm-hmm.
And where do the people that attend this conference, this weekend conference, where do they come from?
People come from all over. So for the international conference, people come from, you know, Toronto, across Canada. There are a lot of people that come from Southern Ontario. And in Los Angeles, there are a lot of people from Mexico, people from Argentina, people from all across the States. And at one conference, I remember there were people from the UK and then also from Australia. So it's really from all over the world.
Now, put this in context for me. The bike community, are we talking about bike advocates, or are we talking about repair shops, or are we talking about the professional stores that I go to and tune up my bike, or are we talking about a volunteer organization?
Mm-hmm. So we're talking more about community DIY bike spaces, so sometimes referred to as community bike projects, because the spaces are very different in the way that they operate sometimes, but they're all focused on providing people with greater access to their own bicycles and own education that's required to repair your own bike and keep it on the road. So a lot of spaces are run by volunteers only, but there are others that are charities or nonprofit organizations and have paid staff or mainly volunteers on site who will help you through the process of fixing your bike or building your own bicycle.
So the overall reason for doing this is to get more people involved in biking, get them on the road, sort of reclaim the roads to say bicycles are important too. If more people have bicycles, then there's a bigger opportunity for them to actually use it and get into cycling. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. And we really think that, you know, the way to keep people on the road and keep people on bicycles is to teach them and empower them to keep their bike in working order by providing that education and that community space, so that if you get a flat, if you, if you need a minor adjustment to your brakes or your shifting system, then you won't think, oh, well, I have to bring it to a shop and maybe wait in line or wait for 2 weeks. I can just go to one of these spaces and someone will definitely be there to help me through that process. Or, you know, I know how to do that already. I just need the tools. I need the space. I like hanging out in these spaces because I have some friends there, and I can make sure that my bike's on the road, you know, by this afternoon. And it's a really, really important resource. We think, you know, that these spaces fill a gap in the city's cycling infrastructure as well.
Now, you touched on the social aspect. Give me an idea about the social aspect.
Mm-hmm. So, community bike projects do focus on providing safer spaces for people also. So really focused on making sure that people feel comfortable in a space and that there's no discrimination of any kind, resulting in people not feeling like they can access the space. So there are a lot of people that, will hang out in a bike space and come up with all sorts of projects and ideas to make it feel like more of a community space. At Charlie's specifically, and also at other spaces, we'll often have silkscreen t-shirt printing nights. A lot of spaces have like a zine library with zines on all sorts of topics, and pretty much they're great spaces for working on any other kinds of DIY projects, because it's a very open and inclusive space where you can bring any other ideas that you have to share with others and just kind of contribute to the DIY aspect of the community that you're in.
Let's get back to Bike, and mm-hmm. what if people are attending, and it's May 17th to the 20th of mm-hmm. 2019, what can they expect when they walk in the door?
Mm-hmm. So I focused a bit on the international side of it, I guess, when I was speaking earlier, but this is for Bike Northeast, which is taking place in Toronto on May 17th to 20th. So there's a group of us working together, representatives from a bunch of the different community bike projects in Toronto. And so we are organizing workshops or coordinating venue spaces for people to hold workshops on the U of T campus and then also in Parkdale on the Saturday and Sunday. But in addition to that, we will also have social events, so like rides across the city. We'll have a party on one of the nights, and we're hoping to have like a film screening one of the nights too. So it's really a great time to meet other people who are operating community bike projects of all kinds in Toronto, Southern Ontario. Also, people are coming from Detroit, New York, and all of the northeastern states, Quebec as well. And then we also have confirmation that some people are coming from Mexico. So it's really a great opportunity to learn about a wide variety of community bike subjects as well.
Sounds great. And as your website says, mm-hmm. the conference will include workshops, bike rides, social events, meals, and more all weekend long. It's going to be a mm-hmm. lot of capital F-U-N, fun. So mm-hmm. if people want to find out more, how can they find out more? What's your website for Bike?
Mm-hmm. So if people want to find out more, they can go to bikebike.org. And this is the international website, but then the Northeastern or Bike Northeast poster is on the front page of the website right now, and so you can click on that. And then as you register, you can also sign up to host a workshop. So that's a really important thing that I forgot to mention. There's so many things, but all of the workshops are put on by people participating in the conference. So and those will be listed online as people register, so you can register and check out what people are proposing to lead as well.
And if people want to find out more about your specific organization, Charlie's Free Wheels, where can they go?
Mm-hmm. People can go to charliesfreewheels.ca.
All right. Alex, thank you very much for joining us on Earth Matters.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Lawson Hunter here, host and producer of Earth Matters. I wanted to thank all the listeners of Earth Matters for your continuing support. As always, please feel free to send us your comments, suggestions, and thoughts on topics and people we should look at for future programs. Email us at earthmatters@newsandcomment.com. News, A-N-D, comment.com.